And welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday morning, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, something that we're going to do in spades today because we, once again today, have with us IQ Al Rasooli. On other mornings, as you know, I focus on patriotism in the media, sometimes on military and economic schemes, but today we're going to return our focus to Islam. If you'll listen, hopefully your eyes will be opened and you may ultimately change your mind towards this particular religion, Islam. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission will be to help you, as will IQ's, to understand what drives Muslims to act so badly, so that you understand not only what they are doing, what they have done, but also we'll be able to predict what they will do as we move into the future. Then during our second hour of this program, we're going to do as we always do. We're going to turn our focus to Yahweh, to his witness, to his terms by way of his one and only covenant, and consider his always dependable Torah teaching, so that with his guidance you will be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with him. Our number for those who would like to engage in this program, question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said, is 877-300-7645. Our guest again today is IQ Al Rasooli. You can find IQ at alrasooli.com. You can buy any one of the three volumes of his monumental work called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam at amazon.com. It is my conclusion that of all of the people I have met along the this way who have taken the time to investigate Islam and have compared Islam to other human institutions, religions, and political schemes, that no one understands Islam better than IQ Al Rasooli, and no one is more articulate in exposing and condemning the religion. In our show yesterday, we, IQ and I, focused on stupidity in Islam to help expose why we should view this human scheme, this enormous cult, with utter disdain because of the statements that were made by Muhammad and how utterly ridiculous they were. And that if the religion has no credibility, then people would be less tolerant of its vile acts, its signature act, which, of course, is terrorism. IQ, how are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me again, and thank you for the compliment.
Well, it's I think it is undeniable and true. What I would like to do this morning is to continue to undermine the credibility of Islam by focusing on statements that Muhammad made that are utterly stupid. Now, one of the things that I do want to say as a preface is that we're going to be quoting from both the Hadith and the Quran. And those listening should not view the Hadith as being inferior to the Quran in terms of the statement's veracity, because the Hadith and the Quran come from exactly the same man, Muhammad. They were conveyed to us in exactly the same way through hearsay over the course of generations before they were written down. The Quran is no more credible than are the Hadith, and the fact is that neither one are credible, because the author of both was an absolute nincompoop. Let me begin this, and we're going to share quotes and comment on them. And again, the purpose of this is to undermine the credibility of the religion that is responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts today. Tabari. Tabari was Islam's first historian. He was the first to write a commentary on the Quran. He has this hadith from Muhammad's lips. Allah created, this is Muhammad speaking, Allah created Adam from stinking, sticky clay, meaning viscous and sweet-smelling slime. Being stinking, it became stinking slime after having been compact soil, end quote. So, Muhammad's explanation of how man was conceived is that man is comprised of stinking, smelly, sticky slime. Now, if that had been the worst he had done, it would be, of course, laughable. But it isn't the worst he had done. Someone else asked him, can you elaborate a little bit on that, Muhammad? This is from Tabari, Volume 1, page 258. Allah sent Gabriel to the earth to bring him some clay. The earth said, I take refuge in Allah against you, mutilating me. Then he sent an angel of death, and he took some soil from the earth, and he made a mixture. He did not take it from a single place, but took red, white, and black soil. Therefore, the children of Adam came out different colors. So Muhammad's explanation of the difference in a person's skin is the color of the clay upon which they were comprised. And, of course,
I don't know whether to laugh or to cry.
Yeah, that's kind of my impression, too, that why would a 1,500,000,000 people trust their soul, the most valuable commodity they have, to a man who would make such an unbelievably moronic statement, claiming that he made that statement after being inspired by his God?
Because 1.5 billion people don't speak Arabic, don't read the Quran, they don't read traditions. I'm not exaggerating.
Yes.
Only out of 1,500 million, maybe 1 to 5% maximum have ever read the Quran and Hadith.
That's true. Yeah, it's true. This is from the Quran.
People,
go ahead.
No, because these people are ignorant.
Yes.
Had they been told about these stories that you and I are revealing, which no imam or mullah will ever do, because he will self-destruct because of it. That's why people are ignorant.
Yes.
And when you confront them, they are in complete and utter shock. They think you are insulting them. I say,
right.
Hey, I'm not insulting you. Google what I'm saying.
Right.
And if you find I'm not telling the truth, come back to me. They
right.
never came back to me.
Right. But, you know, evidence doesn't, and reason do not resonate with the religious. Religion is impervious to evidence and reason, and so we're not sharing these quotes in hopes that there are Muslims out there that will relinquish their grasp on this horrible, fraudulent religion based upon the truth, because that seldom happens. The purpose of sharing these things is that for those who are open-minded, who are reasonable, who do appreciate evidence and logic, that they will be motivated to say, wait a minute, if this religion is as utterly stupid as these quotes indicate, then when you consider it's the death and destruction it perpetrates on humankind and the poverty that it inflicts on humankind, then I ought to, by sheer compassion, oppose it. And so we're sharing these things for that reason. This is from the Quran, chapter 80, verse 17. Be cursed, man. He has self-destructed. From what stuff did he create him? Now, of course, if this answer is to be consistent, it's going to have to be sweet-smelling slime being stinking slime after being compact soil. But that's not the answer here. Now the answer is from nutfa, which most Quran translators, knowing that nutfa isn't actually a word that means anything, have put in parentheses male and female semen drops. He created him and set him in due proportion. So Muhammad and Muhammad's Quran differ, and both are wrong. Both times are wrong. In fact, matter of fact, isn't it true, IQ, that in the alleged first revelation that Muhammad was told that man was created from a coagulated drop of blood?
Yes. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. علق is a clot or
yes.
a leech.
Right.
Either way, if it's a clot, it's dead material. So no human being, no life could have been generated.
Right.
And if it is a leech, well, humans are not coming out from leech. So the first verse, the first revelation to Muhammad by the so-called angel Gabriel, which wasn't angel Gabriel, but Muhammad
right.
himself,
right.
is not only false, it's satanic.
Correct. They came from dead material.
Dead material. We're discussing dead material.
Right. And then,
amazing when I confront Muslims with this and I explain it to them. You know, it's their language. It's Arabic. My language is Arabic, and you can't twist it. And I say to them, the Bible says that God created man by forming him from the dust of the earth and breathing life into his nostril. So how could the same God be this? How could Allah be the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham if the creation story is wrong in the Quran? They will not accept it. They will say that it is wrong in the Bible. The Quran.
Well, then this is the argument. In the first revelation, which is buried in the 96th chapter, because the Quran is a chronological mess. It's twisted and upside down, and it has no context and no chronology, making it amongst the most scattered and disjointed books ever written. In the 96th surah, which was the first revealed portions of it, it says that man was created from a blood clot, dead blood cells. And then in the 80th surah, it says that he was created from nutfa, which are assumed to be male and female semen drops. How do they deal with the contradiction? And then how do they deal with the contradiction?
It's not the only one.
That when Muhammad says
creation was created from water.
Right.
There are five or six types of creation.
Right.
Muhammad could not remember what he told them.
Correct. Like, for example, that Tabati verse that I quoted, Tabati 1:258, that Allah created Adam from sticky, slimy, and stinking slime, that's actually repeated in Quran 15:26. You know, if you were... The easiest way to demonstrate that something is untrue is internal contradiction. And so in the Quran, there are about 12 different creation accounts, 12 different depictions of how Allah created man. And there, it's not like, you know, in Scripture, Yahweh gives us multiple perspectives on the same event. But every time he gives us a different perspective on the same event, everything that he says is consistent with everything he said before. He's just giving you a different view of the same event. In the case of Muhammad, it's 12 completely unrelated accounts which are mutually exclusive and mutually contradictory. And so how could anybody who is informed and rational trust a book filled with this many contradictions? This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back in a moment. Hello, and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're here with a truly inspired individual. His name is IQ Al Rasuli. There is no one in the world better equipped to expose the many false teachings, the false statements that are associated with Islam. He does so out of compassion. He wants Muslims to awaken from their stupor, to come to realize that Islam is untrue. And he does so for lots of reasons, one of which is that motivated by this vile dogma, Allah's despicable rant, Muslims are responsible for most of the terrorist acts in the world, and they have perpetrated hellish conditions on themselves, particularly women, throughout the world of Islam. And so anything that we can do to demonstrate that Islam is unworthy of a person's allegiance and that no one should kill in the name of this disgusting and perverted religion, the better. So this is an act of compassion that we're about today. There is a reason that we are exposing the putrid underbelly of this religion. I want to quote from Bukhari, Volume 4. Allah's Apostle, the true and truly inspired, said, regarding the matter of creation of a human being, humans are put together in the womb of the mother in 40 days. Then he becomes a clot of thick blood for a similar period. Then he becomes a piece of flesh for 40 days. Then Allah sends an angel who is ordered to write four things: the new creature's deeds, the livelihood, date of death, and whether he will be blessed or wretched. He will do whatever is written for him. End quote. Now, there's about 100 things wrong. That's just one sentence. There's about 100 things wrong with it, aren't there?
Of course. First of all, he's talking about 4 months of gestation, and they're all wrong. But the most important single item is that Allah has predestined humanity. The God of Muhammad has predestined humanity in such a way that 20% of them will go to heaven or their paradise, and 80% of them will go to hell. I'm talking about current terms today.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, the kuffar, the unbelievers, are 80% of humanity today.
Mm-hmm.
And we are destined by His compassionate and merciful God, Allah, to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important our listeners understand this. It is so fundamental to destroy what Muhammad and Islam is all about. There is no compassion, there is no mercy, there is no justice, there is no morality by the God of Muhammad. Allah.
Therefore,
because Allah and Muhammad are one and the same. Allah is most definitely not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. It's that simple. It really is not complicated.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is that the reason Muslims kill screaming Allahu Akbar is that they have been indoctrinated to believe that all they're doing is following their prophet's example. They're God's orders to kill the wretched so that Allah can torture them in hell. And so they absolutely think, they have been indoctrinated to believe that what they're doing is good.
Yes.
But here...
Yes, but that's the whole point.
But just think about this. Here's a guy who predicated predestination, which is irrational. That means that every single thing that you do, you think, that every person has ever done is orchestrated by God. So that every aspect of life, including the move of every animal, including the move of every natural part of our environment, is orchestrated by God so that it plays out exactly as He wants. That nobody has any choice in anything. Life is absolutely and utter meaningless. We're simply characters to be toyed with.
Well, considering this is a fact, what is the purpose of religion? Even
None.
According to Muhammad and Islam is null and void. Why? Because if Allah predicated everything, then humans have no free will. And without free will, there is no purpose. Even Satan is out of a job. I'll tell you why. If Allah destined the followers of Muhammad to go to heaven, well, He predestined them already. Satan cannot interfere. And those who are not believers, they're already going to hell. What is the purpose of Satan? Satan is out of a job. With predestination, Satan is out of a job.
Every aspect of Islam is rendered moot simply by the notion of predestination. But of course, we came to this passage to understand why Muhammad thought that human gestation took place over 4 months, and why he had every aspect of it wrong, and why anyone would believe anything he had to say after that. I'm Yada, this is Shattering Myths. We'll be back in a moment.
Gardeners.
Shattering this. I'm your host and tour guide, Yada. We are with IQ Al-Rasuli, who has written a series of books on Islam, all of which you can find at Amazon.com. Al-Rasuli is the name that you should Google should you wish to find his books, Lifting the Veil, The True Nature of Muhammad and Islam, the title of his books. They are based upon a series of lectures that IQ provided that I think are still viewable on the Internet, but they were have been transcribed and turns into written material for those who would prefer to read versus listen. This is an amazing statement for those who are more interested in listening. This is from Tabati, Volume 1, page 232. Gabriel, this is Muhammad speaking now. Gabriel brings to the sun a garment of luminosity. Now, just for a moment, think about this. That Muhammad says that the sun wears a garment of luminosity. And then he went on to say that this sun wears a longer and shorter garment of luminosity in the shorter one in the winter, and it wears a longer garment in the summer, and a garment of intermediate length in the spring and the autumn, and that the sun puts on this garment as one of you puts on your clothes. And that's Muhammad's example as to why we receive light from the sun, is it wears a different length garment depending on the time of the year.
Tabari 1.204. I asked the Prophet, where was Allah before his creation? Muhammad replied, he was in a cloud with no air underneath or above it.
How do you have a cloud with no air?
We stupid people, we thought you need clouds. You need air to have clouds.
I thought so too. When Muhammad was asked about that, he replied, when Allah was done with his creation, he created two suns, only two. Now, forget the fact that there are hundreds of billions of stars, and the sun is just one of billions of stars. He created two suns from the light of his throne. With his foreknowledge, he knew that he would efface one and change it into a moon. So the moon is smaller than the sun. So according to Muhammad, the reason that we get light from the sun, it's just the moon, it's just a smaller sun, that our moon was once a sun that has now just been made smaller by Allah. Here's Tabati 1 from the following page. Allah thus sent Gabriel to drag his wing three times over the face of the moon, which at the time was a sun. He effaced its luminosity and left the light in it. This is what Allah means in Quran 17:12, where he says, we have blotted out the sign of the night, and we have made the sign of the day something to see by. The blackness you see as lines on the moon are a trace of Gabriel's wing blotting out some of the light.
Shall I cry?
That's my response. I mean, should we just absolutely cry, realizing that ignorant and irrational, that 1.5 billion people are poisoned by this man's verbal diarrhea? Or should we laugh at how utterly stupid this man was? This man who, you know, I spend an enormous amount of my time studying the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. And my favorite books to read happen to be those that were authored by Dode, who we call David today. And when you compare the intellect, the insights, the truths, the understanding that's conveyed by Yahweh's prophet Dode, David, to this man's rubbish, it is like going to the absolute far extremes of the human experience. The blackness you see on the moon is the tracing of the blotting out of the moon's light, which was originally a sun.
Yada, do you know, if we had one TV station, one major TV station, spending 2 hours doing what we are doing?
Yes.
Hundreds of millions of pounds of people will change. Did you know
yes,
that?
Yes, I know that.
Literally,
I know that.
One single TV station, like Fox or Al Jazeera or CNN, spending yes. 2 hours doing what we are doing,
yes.
over 100 million people will change their mind.
Yeah. If they were to spend 2 hours a day devoted to exposing the truth about Islam, then it is astonishing how many people would abandon the religion. You know, it's very much like the Ku Klux Klan in America in the early 1920s. At the time that the Ku Klux Klan was at its height in the early 1920s, about one in every 10 American males was a member of the Klan. So people got access to the internal documents of the Klan and exposed them in the media. Newspapers and other media outlets exposed the internal secrets of the Klan. And when people read it, they were so repulsed that they rejected the Klan. And it became impossible for the Klan to keep its existing members and to recruit new members. And over a course of 3 years, the Klan lost 95% of its membership. And all people had to do was what we're doing. Expose the stupidity, the immorality of the internal documents of the religion. Now, we're going to do future programs dedicated expressly to exposing Islam statements on fighting, killing, on jihad, and on murder, so that you understand that it's not all fun and games here. But if we can undermine its credibility with these statements, and if we could get others to do the same, we could radically change the future of our world. Tabati, volume one. This is pretty amazing. Allah then created for the sun a chariot with 360 handholds for the luminosity of the light of the throne, and entrusted 360 of the angels inhabiting the lower heaven with the sun and with the sun's chariot, each of them gripping one of those handholds. Allah also entrusted 360 angels with the moon. This is the source of everything that exists in Islam. The Quran is nothing more than the words of Muhammad. This is that same man speaking about the nature of the sun and the moon. Handholds for chariots.
Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith 5.208, narrated by Anas bin Malik. The people of Mecca asked Allah's apostle to show them a miracle. So he showed them the moon split into two halves, between which they could see the Hira mountains. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like you to understand this. Considering the fact that no civilization has ever recorded such an event, and even assuming it defies physics and actually did happen, the moon is much higher in the sky, then how was it possible for Muhammad and his companions to see the Hira mountains, which are on Earth? Simple question.
Tabati 1.234. So then the Prophet said, for the sun and the moon, Allah created east and west, and two sides of the earth and two rims of the heaven. There are 180 springs in the west of black clay, which is why Allah's word says he found the sun setting in a muddy spring. This is from Quran chapter 18, verse 86. The black clay bubbles and boils like a pot when it boils furiously. So according to the Quran, and according to Muhammad, its author, the sun goes to bed every night in a muddy spring. But you didn't know that.
Oh, I did. It was the chapter Al-Qarnayn, Dhul Qarnayn.
Yeah, in fact, you mentioned Dhul Al-Qarnayn, which is allegedly Muhammad or Alexander the Great. This is Quran 1883. They ask Correct. You about Dhul Al-Qarnayn, Alexander the Great. Say, I will recite something of his story. We gave him, this is Allah and Muhammad, we is Allah and Muhammad together. We gave him authority in the land and means of accomplishing his goals. So he followed a path until he reached the setting place of the sun. He saw that it set in black, muddy, hot water. He found people there. Now, he goes on to explain what happened. He says that Dhul Al-Qarnayn, Alexander the Great, went to these extraterrestrials that were living by this muddy spring where the sun went to bed at night, and he preached Islam to them. But they did not listen to him. So Muhammad says that he then went to those people in the same extraterrestrials in the same muddy spring where the sun goes to bed at night. And he preached Islam to them too, but they didn't listen to him either. So yeah. When we found that science found that the sun does not, in fact, go to bed every night in a muddy spring, it's not pulled through the heavens by a chariot, and that there are no extraterrestrials living around the sun. Why are there still Muslims?
I don't know. Considering the fact that the sun is 1 million times bigger than the earth, which muddy pond would it take it?
What would happen to a muddy pond if the sun actually went into it?
Really. By the way, even this verse, which I point out to some Muslims, yes. They say, no, this was a figure of speech. Figure of speech, yes, okay. Muslim, Sahih Muslim Hadith 328, narrated by Abu Huraira. Allah said, the Quraysh people, that his tribe, were asking me about the night journey, the night he traveled from Mecca to Jerusalem.
Right.
They were asking him. I was asked about things pertaining to Bayt al-Maqdis. Bayt al-Maqdis is the Arabic for Bayt al-Mikdash, which is the Temple of Solomon, which I could not preserve in my mind. Again, he forgot. I was very much vexed. So vexed as I had never been before. You see, I want people to remember again. Once more does Muhammad admit his fallible memory. First, he forgot on which night the first revelation that ever existed in his lifetime. He forgot which night it was. In this case, he had just returned from his night journey, presumably a few hours earlier, and he prayed at the Temple of Solomon at the head of all the previous prophets, and yet he couldn't remember what the temple looked like. I want our listeners to understand, at the time of Muhammad, when he went on the journey in 622 AD, the Temple of Solomon had already been destroyed 500 years earlier by the Romans. There was no Temple of Solomon.
And that's why he couldn't remember what it looked like. But when people come to realize that the temple had been destroyed, why are they still Muslims? But why would anyone believe that you can get from Mecca to Jerusalem by riding a winged ass, which is the story that Muhammad told? We'll be back after the break. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're here with IQ Al Rasuli. We are trying to help people understand just how foolish Muhammad was, how utterly stupid he was, how utterly foolish his wannabe God was, which is probably the one and the same. Muhammad and his God were one. And we're doing so by reciting statements that were recorded that Muhammad made. And these statements are no different than any statement made in the Quran. As a matter of fact, most of these statements are corroborated in the Quran. And so by understanding just how utterly stupid Muhammad was, perhaps there are people who are listening to our program that will be motivated to rid the world of this abominable cult, this abominable religion, recognizing that people believing that it is true are responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts. This is from Tabati. It's volume one. Muhammad said, when the sun rises upon its chariot from one of those springs, it is accompanied by 360 angels with outspread rings. Then when Allah wishes to test the sun as if it were a living object and the moon, showing his servants a sign, thereby getting the sun and the moon to obey him, the sun tumbles from its chariot and falls into the deep end of the ocean. When Allah wants to increase the significance of the sign and frighten his servants severely, all of the sun falls and none of it remains in the chariot. That is a total eclipse of the sun. It is a misfortune for the sun.
It's a misfortune for humanity.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And these are the people who listen, and most of Muslims would never know about these subjects, by the way. 99.9% of Muslims maybe don't even know these stories, because they're not told these stories. For the simple reason, they self-destruct.
Yeah, but
it is by divine will, whether you believe in God or not, I'm using the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
It is by divine will and divine justice that the very hadiths that explain to the followers of Muhammad his Quran and Sunnah are the very same that utterly discredit Muhammad as a prophet and the alleged divine origin of his Quran.
Correct.
It's really that's exactly what we're doing now.
Yeah, what's really true is that since the Quran is so disjointed, it has no chronology, it has no context. It is as if the passages of the Quran were blown by a tornado, thrown up into the sky, and however they fell down, they were assembled together. Because there is no context and no chronology to the Quran, the only way that it can be understood is to be reordered chronologically and set into the context of Muhammad's life. The only way to do that is with the hadith. There are two collections of hadith that were committed to paper that are chronological depictions that enable us to do that within 200 years of Muhammad's death. One was compiled by Tabari, which is the first historian of Islam, and the other by Ibn Ishaq. And then there are two collections of hadith that are ordered by topic, and they are Bukhari and Muslim. Those four sources are the only tools that we have within 200 years of this man's life that enable us to put the Quran in chronological order, to put it into the context of Muhammad's life so that it can be understood. And IQ is right. When you use the hadith to put the Quran into the context of Muhammad's life, it utterly discredits everything in Islam. It means that the Quran is nothing but the ramblings of a sick and perverted man's mind. That Muhammad provided every statement in his Quran solely to satiate his own personal lust for sex, power, and money. And that this man was the least credible and most repulsive man who ever lived. And the fact that he was the most repulsive man who ever lived, a pedophile, a sexual pervert, a thief, a slave trader, a mass murderer, ruthless terrorist. That ought to be sufficient for anyone in their right mind to say, I'm not going to trust anything this man has to say. But there's more to it than that. There is utter stupidity. Most everything Muhammad had to say is factually and historically untrue. And that's why we've been sharing some of these. You know, here's Tabari.
More Muslims would be listening to us.
And more people who are not Muslims. If more people understood how horrible this cult was, how truly despicable it was. You know, all you have to do is open your eyes and look at the 50 nations that are Islamic nations. They're the most hellish places on earth to live. That ought to be motivation alone to free Muslims from Islam. But then to listen to this stupidity of Muhammad and to come to know how repulsive this man was. That ought to be reason all over again. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We have been today with IQ Al-Rasuli. When next we meet, we're going to speak about fighting, killing, death, and murder in Islam.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most...